The Shift Podcast, Perspective and Our Power to Change, invites us to expand our lives by changing the lens we see through. Is something different calling you? Do you ever ask yourself, is this all there is? Or have you forgotten why you're even here? Trish and Diane create insightful and empowering conversations about connecting the self, soul, nature, and community. Navigating life by choice rather than circumstance is how we make the shift to expand our humanity. The shift starts now.
Welcome in, everybody. Happy Friday. Welcome to the Shift Podcast, where our choice to expand our lives starts with us by changing our perspective. I'm your host, Diane McClay, and I've got my co-host here, Trish Campbell. We are coming to you live from Mississauga, Ontario, Canada, and from the beautiful Pacific Northwest in Southwest Washington. We're so glad that you made the choice to be with us today. As always, we like to start our show. We recognize that we would not be here if it weren't for our ancestors, if it weren't for the stewards of the land who cared for these special places long before us. So we like to start our show with a quick land acknowledgement to the stewards, the original stewards, the native stewards of the land. In my particular area, it's the Confederated Tribes of the Warm Springs, the lower and upper Chinook people, the Wishram people, or the River people. And these are just some of the named and unnamed people that we feel that we need to honor and that we need to appreciate for giving us the inspiration that we have today. Trish, I know you have some people you like to acknowledge whenever we start our show.
Yes, thanks, Diane. That's beautiful. And I love how this also ties into what we're talking about today. I just want to acknowledge the people of the original inhabitants of the lands where I settle, the Anishinaabeg, the Haudenosaunee, the Huron-Wendat, the Mississauga of the Credit, and the Ojibwe Chippewa, and thanking them for their modeling of what it is to connect to the earth, what it is to be one with the earth, and all of the wisdoms that they hold and have to share with us, and that we're, you know, learning so much from and then applying that in our lives. So I'm so grateful for this journey, for the awareness that we have about this connection that's kind of been hidden from our society as a whole, and that we get to talk about it here. So
yeah, and I think it's good. I was reading through a book today and I came across a quote that is not attributed to any specific Native American tribe, but it's the concept that we are not inheriting the earth from our ancestors. We're actually borrowing it from our children. And that seemed really appropriate to the conversation. You and I had some great opportunities to go out in nature and play and create the pause in our own personal lives, our business lives, our personal lives. We got to touch the land, which in my opinion is different than just going for a hike. And I think we'll talk about that in a little bit. But to remember that we're borrowing this land from our children and our children's children, this is the concept of how Native Americans treated the land when they were living on it. I was just having a conversation with another potential guest, and we were talking about just the concept of controlled burns, about how fires in the specific in the West and pretty much in the Southwest are really just becoming devastating. They're overtaking our landscape. They're overtaking our news cycles, and the old ways of doing things were to control burn with very specific intention and very specific consciousness, so that the land could replenish itself. And I think that's kind of a good theme for diving into our theme this week of into the wilderness and what we get from the land and how we tie that. So tie it in a little bit. Tell people what you kind of tapped into or what you experienced when you.
I love that, you know, it's one perspective of looking at that and remembering that it is borrowed. It is not, nobody owns the land or nobody owns the earth. I've been reading the book, Braiding Sweetgrass. And, you know, one of the themes in there is that our earth, our land is a gift. It's not a commodity, and we've turned it into a commodity and we've lost our connection to that. And that's what, you know, I think that's one of the things that we remember when we go in, when we are immersing ourselves in the wilderness, in nature, is, that we are connected to it. And, you know, we talked about some of the experiences we had while we were out on those hikes, in the Pacific Northwest, which is so magnificent everywhere you turn, and you just feel the energy and the vibration of the earth so powerfully and powerfully. And I can talk, but the thing that ends up happening with that is when we tune into that, it's what we hear inside of us, what we remember inside of us, that is a part of us and we are a part of it. And it's our intuition. And I know I had an experience where we were coming off a hike and I just had to stop and write some poetry on my phone of how I was feeling in that moment. And I've talked before about my book, and a lot of it's been written in nature on my phone. And because as soon as my feet hit the ground, I immediately remember and I immediately feel that connection to in coming back to the land and all that is there for us. And I also want to tie in what you said about, you know, we're borrowing the land from our children. Today's my daughter's 26th birthday, so I want to shout out her and wish her happy birthday. But in contemplating her, and she's 26, and so I'm double her age. She's the age that I was when I had her. So I was really, you know, reflective about that and looking back to how I thought before I had her and then once I had her. And, you know, we come in with this expectation of how we're going to parent maybe, and it ends up, you know, she's the one who's really taught me, because we come here with the wisdom already. We come here knowing we're connected to the land. We come here knowing we're one with nature, but we soon forget because we have to operate in a system that teaches us to forget and teaches and pulls us away from who we are. So I think, you know, it's such a broad topic of being immersed in nature. But that remembering, that intuition that we're strengthening, it's like a muscle and it's, you know, always, always there for us. And I know you had a similar experience recently too.
Well, and I always do, right? I mean, I'm so blessed to be living in a place where literally I could be in the type of environment that's behind your background or my background in 15 to 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. I have a plethora of waterfalls and deep woods experiences that are available to me. And I guess one, I want to say happy birthday, Jasmine, because I know that's important and putting a name out there.
Yeah.
But you know, that the experiences that I have in nature, you know, I was on the hike I was doing, we were coming back from a beautiful waterfall. And for some reason, cedar trees are always a draw for me. I smell them long before I see them. I can, in the Pacific Northwest, we're dominant with Douglas fir trees and some ponderosa pine, depending on where you are. So when I can spot the bark of a cedar tree, the long, sinewy, stringy bark of a cedar tree, it just pops out to me like pink in the middle of green for some people.
Yeah.
And that's my happy place, right? There's a place for me that when I can't reach nature, there's a hike that I go to where you descend in kind of this low boggy valley, and then suddenly you're in old growth cedar, and the smell of cedar just comes down on you, not in a heavy way, but almost like a warm blanket that wraps itself around you. Mm-hmm. My senses suddenly become heightened: smell, sight, hearing. There's this point where I'm almost transported by what I call the magic of the cedars. And for me, I think that also, now that I have that connection, when I go on a hike and I see a single cedar tree by itself, I'm drawn to it. In this particular place, it had been blown over by wind. It has a long vertical crack. Cedar is one of the few trees that actually splits vertically. And I was drawn to just pick up the pieces and smell them. And then suddenly, just like you, I heard the voice of my muse talking to me about integrity.
Uh-huh.
And I just felt the need, like I needed to capture that. So that's a long story to say that even without trying to connect to nature, nature actually connected itself to me and gave me something. And I think that that's one of the things that we're really working hard to invite our listeners to do, is to create that pause in their life and tap into that thing that drives them, that they know to be true.
Right. And that's, and the reason why we're talking about this, and we always say, that, you know, change begins and ends with us individually. Collective change does, and it's up to us to make the take that action or to, you know, reflect. And this is about that invitation to, you know, connecting with nature is really connecting with yourself, because that is the natural progression or the connection of when we're in that energy. That is part of us, and we are a part of it. So we connect to ourselves. I just, you know, I keep thinking back to something that I wrote, and I also found it in this book. But I wrote it when I was like 17 or something. And reminding myself that I've never been lost in the woods, only found. And in the book, and by the way, the book Braiding Sweetgrass, I just want to call out the author is Robin Wall Kimmerer. And this book is, well, Elizabeth Gilbert calls it a hymn of love to the world. And it truly is. And I've been, you know, told, read this book. You got to, you know, it's a must read. And I say it's a must read because you will never look at the world the same after reading this book. But she says, one of the things she says in there is the land knows you even when you are lost. And that's why we're talking about this, to come back to connect with nature, because we're talking about the connection to ourselves. And we can only connect with others as much as we are connected with ourselves. We can only know other people as much as we know ourselves. So if we don't know who we are, we can't know who somebody else is, or can't connect on a deeper level with people. And I mean, if the last couple of years has taught us anything, connection is so important to our not just survival, but thriving in life, and just to our fulfillment. And, you know, that's the invitation to just the next time you have an opportunity to be out there and just feel the vibration around you and what speaks to you.
Yeah, I want to jump in here because I find it interesting that after you and I spent some time out in nature, we're both drawn to some books that feed us and feed our connection to nature. I have a lot of books on my bookshelf, and I'd like to read a passage from one that I've picked up. It's been sitting here for a while, and all of a sudden it's like, I want to kind of read that again. It's called Awake Into the Wild, Mindfulness in Nature as a Path of Self-Discovery by Mark Coleman. And this chapter title is called Practice the Art of Stopping. Mm. What is the hardest thing of all? What seems the easiest to you to use your eyes to see what lies in front of them? And one of the sentences he writes is, while the pressures of life can sometimes pull us away from the central feast before us, it's actually in times of stress when we most need to stop ourselves and come back into our place in nature.
Hmm.
Right. And I was like, so to me, that's the art of the pause. It's slowing down. I mean, literally, listeners, when was the last time you actually stopped moving? I don't mean when you went to bed and finally turned out the lights and finally turned off the digital media, but when in the middle of your busy day with whatever it is you're doing, did you actually mindfully and consciously engage in stopping,
mm-hmm.
in the pause?
Yeah.
Just think about that for a minute. When was the last time you purposely put a pause in your life?
Yeah.
And then if you did, if there's listeners out there who can say, oh yeah, I just did it because I meditate. Excuse me. What did you see? What did you observe? And John Lubbock says, rest is not idleness. And to lie sometimes on the grass under trees on a summer's day, listening to the murmur of the water or watching the clouds float across the sky is by no means a waste of time.
I love that. That's so beautiful. It is. And it's truly, you know, if you look at nature, that really shows us how life is meant to be in its natural flow. It's not constantly moving all the time. Each form of nature has its own way of resting. And then, you know, it's the life cycle. And we can't grow or evolve or any of even connect with ourselves if we're constantly in movement. So I think it's so important in our, that's the thing, like there's so much deprogramming that we need to do, because we, like I said, when we come into the world, we know that connection, and then we're were programmed out of it. And so it's really coming back to that. And to your point, you know, when you were reading that quote, all I could think of is it's medicine, it's healing, it's literally there are so many things in nature that can heal us. But again, it's been buried, it's been hidden, it's been frowned upon, it's been you know, kind of just put on the fringe because of we've taken the earth and made it a commodity, made it people's property. I, you know, also as you were talking and you were talking about the pause, and when I went for a walk while I was out there in Washougal, Washington, and I'm in the neighborhood, which is on the, we're in a mountain or whatever, but it's out in the country. But I stopped and for a minute I was like surrounded in signs, and the signs said private property. And I was just awestruck at that. And I had already started reading this book and reading about, you know, that it's nobody's, it's not private property. It's not to be owned. It's a gift. And that we live in reciprocity with it. We don't just take. And so for me, it was just such a profound moment to stand and look in a 360 degree. Every single property had a private property, stay off, no trespassing. All, and I get that, you know, that you bought that land, but who had the right to sell that land in the first place, and who profited from that? So these are also like deeper questions than we have time for, but it's the kinds of things that we want to talk about to engage in conversation and to, you know, invoke the thought and the reflection in your own life and in our lives too, that we constantly, you know, inquire and ask questions and pause and reflect. And that's how we remember.
Yeah, I like that. I just say that again, you know, we pause and we reflect, and that's how we remember. Mm-hmm. So imagine how powerful it can be if you took your shoes off and just stood in the grass with your eyes closed. Imagine what it would be like if you remembered the childhood. And I told a story the other day. I took some people out on a hike, and you know, that like this little childish imp in me wanted to jump in a mud puddle, and I did. Mm-hmm. Right. And I got mud on my legs, and my feet got wet, and there was this, I was already in a space of joy because I was showing people my world, and I was in the space of being able to see my world through their eyes. Mm-hmm. But I took this brief moment for me, and I'm like, there's a mud puddle and I want to jump in it, and I'm going to. And then my joy expanded exponentially. So there's kind of that space is, you don't have to go for a, you know, you don't have to climb a 14er. You don't have to go for a 15 mile hike. You don't have to climb something that exhausts your legs and your body. You just simply have to stop and pause and look around you. Mm-hmm. And then in that pause, ask yourself, what am I observing? What am I feeling? And what, if anything, could be different?
Yeah.
And I think that perspective is that thing that we're going to challenge people to do in our, you know, we're starting our second year. We're starting our second season of The Shift. And I think we're moving in a direction where we're going to start giving people more techniques and tangible ways of creating that pause and that perspective in their life.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it only helps us strengthen our connection, like I was going back to the connection with ourselves. And it's not about, being selfish or putting ourselves, you know, me. It's about, we can't be, like I said, going, probably repeating myself, we can't be us if I don't know who I am. I can't be, you know, and I feel like there's not a better way to know who you are, remember why you came here, than to be immersed in some sort of nature, whether, you know, it might look different for other, some people, it might not be a hike. It might be out on the lake, out on the water, down, like skiing down a slope or whatever it is, cycling, you know, on a 50 mile ride or something like that, whatever it is. But it's what I noticed for myself is that I have never been more empowered in who I am and never been more sure of who I am until I started reconnecting with nature, because I wasn't always that way. I was, you know, always in the grind and I'm not saying, you know, downplaying a 9-to-5 or whatever, but I was always in the system and trying to prove my worth that way. And when I disengaged with that and came back to the simplicity of life, that's when, like you said the word joy, and that is, joy is happiness for no reason. You just have to be, and there's no better place for that. And I think that is why it's so healing and why, you know, being in nature is so medicinal.
It's also easy, right?
And it's easy.
And
yeah.
And it's super crazy easy for me, but let's just assume that some of our listeners are people who live in the city and the concept of camping or being outdoors or bugs really is just not appealing, right? There's a quote, and I can't tell you who said it, but it goes something to the effect of, there are flowers to be seen if you choose to look.
Yeah.
Right? So replace flowers with, there's air to breathe if you choose to inhale. There's something to be learned if you choose to be curious, right? It's a metaphor that wildflowers we find in nature, but not even wildflowers. Walk around your neighborhood and look at people's gardens. Look at what somebody has intentionally grown, whether it's a tomato or a pepper or a zinnia or a rhododendron. People are putting energy into producing something that has a visual and visceral effect on the people that walk through those surroundings. And we're challenging you and asking you to slow down mm-hmm. and notice it. And then when you notice it, how do you feel?
Yeah.
What starts to come alive for you when you notice that thing? So you don't have to be deeply immersed in nature. You just have to be curious enough to look for it and ask for the guidance or the lesson that is meant for you.
Right. And you said the word feel, and that's really, I feel like why it's so, why this process of being in nature is so healing, is so where we build that connection to ourselves, because it goes back to the work that we both kind of do, but I specifically with Reiki, when I, you know, that work and the healing and the feeling, it's like, this is how we process, anything that we're going through, any emotions. We think we can think our way through it, but we can't. It happens in the body. It happens intuitively. It happens through the soul. It happens through that connection. And that is what ends up, that's the magic that happens when we're in nature, because we are tuned in and tapped in to that energy and to that direct connection to our source. And we don't really have to even do anything or effort anything. It just subtly happens. I mean, at least that's been my experience. And that's been my experience working, because nature is energy. And the work that I do on the Reiki part of the work that I do is energy as well. It's universal energy. It's all of us. We have it in us. So it's really allowing that to flow, and then allowing that to flow so that we are in our truest potential. And I think that's the beauty of that pause, is we're inching our way into that without having to really think about it or do anything.
Right. And, you know, what I'm thinking about right now is I've had the privilege of seeing some of your art, some of your creative pieces. And for our listeners who are curious, they should go to your website, right? And which is, this is Trish, or is it?
This is TrishCampbell.com.
Okay, yeah. This is TrishCampbell.com. And they should click on the tab that says art pieces. Because the visual production of your creative art is the essence and the culmination of exactly what we're talking about. It's
right.
Tapping into self. It's feeling the energy. It's feeling the connectivity. You shared with me that you don't always have a preconceived idea of what you want to paint mm-hmm. or draw. It just, you feel something and then allow the colors to come onto the paper and represent what you feel. But as somebody who's had an opportunity to really look at your art and experience it firsthand, it's the thing that the art is the expression of the feeling is the expression of what comes naturally is the expression of what we're being given all the way around us.
Right. And the expression is important because it's not meant to stay inside of us. It's meant to come out. It's meant to be spoken. Well, that is our medicine too, whether it's through art, whether it's whatever it is your, that is also part of the process of our connection, but our growth and our healing. And, you know, I talk a lot about healing because I feel like that's why we're here. We're here to healing required to get us to our full potential. And, you know, we both people with that in our own ways. And, you know, it's just, I want to remind people whoever feel in that or you need support, because sometimes we have it inside of us, but we can't ourselves. You have two people right here who can help you with that, and both are our own styles of doing that. But I know just from my experience with you, Diane, like you just have this gift for seeing just the magic in people that they sometimes can't see in themselves, and you draw that out. So people to go to your website too and connect with you if they need some support or they want to do something differently. And then Diane McClay.com.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is that here's the question that I would put out to our listening audience. We want to hear from you. What is your expression? How are you showing up as your real natural self at the best level that you have? So you can hit us on Instagram and I'm at Coach with Diane or the Encourage Company, and you can hit Trisha. Let us know what your expression is.
Yeah, I'm at This is Trish Campbell on Instagram, and my website is thisistrishcampbell.com. You can connect with us. Yeah, we want to engage you in the conversation, and you know, have your feedback, and this is an ongoing dialogue that we're having. So we're so appreciative that you're joining us for our second season. I want to thank everybody behind the scenes, Jacob, our producer, who's always making us look good. And I don't know, why don't you close this out, Diane?
Just that we want to hear from you and we want to engage you, and we want this to be a two-sided conversation. So hit us up and let us know if this is landing for you. All right. As always, perspective and the power to change, it always starts and begins with us. Happy Friday. Have a great weekend. Take care of each other. Take care of the earth. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Shift Podcast, where perspective and our power to change intersect. Slowing down to look at things from a different angle is necessary to affect positive change. You hold the power to transform yourself and your life. It is already inside you and it's within reach. Clarity comes from awareness. Momentum comes from choice. Healing, growth, and transformation happen on The Shift Podcast, the first and third Fridays at 12:30 p.m. Pacific. For more information, go to invibe.ca or dianemcclay.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.